Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Angel Answers. My name is Amy Toy, and I have a very special guest with us today, a wonderful man who is taking interviews. His wife passed away, the author of the book, Kathleen Ross, Bound by Destiny, A Past Life Journey to the Present, and his name is Hal Wright, and he's going to be Kathy's, I would say, surrogate today, and I'm going to bring him in right now. Hal, welcome. Welcome to the show. Thank you for coming on. How are you doing today?
I'm well, thank you, Amy. It's a pleasure to be on your show.
Oh, it's a pleasure having you. It's a pleasure having you. This is a wonderful book your wife wrote, Bound by Destiny, A Past Life Journey to the Present. And what fascinated me about this book is that it brings past life regression, which will explain what that is, into the present, which is interesting. I thought that was an interesting contrast. I've never seen a book of this kind of, you know, bring that into contrast. How did you feel being the co-star of this book? Because you are the co-star. We're going to get into some different things. How did you feel about having your, like, experience out there for you personally?
Well, the thing about the book is that it's Kathy's story of how she can remember her past lives and how they interact with her present lives. And so when we talk about sharing stories, the idea is that we learn from each other's stories. And so although in some ways there's personal material in it, on a broader front, you know, that's how you can share and help other people by sharing your experience. So I was a little trepid and I had some misgivings about it, but I got over those and shared.
Yeah.
My writings are actually in the book included as well.
Yes, yes. We have some personal journal entries and letters from you and Kathy during
That's
your
right. And those are
courtship.
All originals.
Yes, wow. Wow. You could Well, let's go a little bit into your story. Let's give a little background into the book. Both of you at the time of the writing of this book, which is, like you said, 15 years, you both were married to different people. Tell me about that when you first met Kathy, and how did you meet her? And it's interesting how you guys met. It's really cool. Why don't you explain a little bit to the listeners?
Well, I mean, this is the storyline of the book, and this is what actually happened is that each of Kathy and I were sort of on a spiritual path, which was not consistent with our first partners, and so we met when we were taking a meditation course. And the meditation course had different components to it, which brought us together over a series of weekends. And then we had a two-week course, which was away from home. And so it's really the story of us falling in love on this meditation course and then dealing with the consequences of our feelings for one another. So that's how you would look at it from the present perspective. But as the book illustrates or goes through, in fact, our connection was much stronger and more detailed than just two people who are lost in their present marriages finding themselves in this lifetime.
Mm-hmm. Which is amazing because, you know, we have these, I don't know, present-day conceptions of, you know, extramarital affairs and all that, but in past life regression and in the spirit realm, it's really odd. It just, you know, defies conventional thinking of relationships today, you know.
Well, it does in this culture, in the Western culture it does. So Western
right.
culture says, you know, we live once and then we go to heaven or hell depending on how well we've done in this lifetime. But if from an Eastern spiritual perspective, there is a continuity of the soul, so you're reincarnating. And so what the book actually attempts to do is it attempts to take that spiritual tradition, the Eastern spiritual tradition, and illustrate in a real-life way about how, you know, the patterns that we're confronting or the personal problems we're confronting in this life actually have their genesis in past lives. And so we're working through our issues from a multi-life perspective. So the book explores, I think, something like 10 or 12 past lives that were Kathy and I had been together, and so we would take it so far, and something would prevent us from being together. And so each lifetime it progresses, and so you can see that progression
mm-hmm.
in the alternating chapter format. So just again, for the, since people haven't read the book, the the arc of the book is that it's a story of the two of us meeting and dealing with what we should do with each other. And every other chapter is a past life recollection where there's a story about a past life that we had actually shared at a previous time.
Yes, and the stories are amazing, especially some of the past life regressions. Wow. They're very emotional. Very. There was
it's very,
one...
it's very honest and raw. I mean, Kathy,
yes.
You know, people, some people, it's actually too strong for them. I've had people say they actually had to put the book down and go make a cup of tea because there's that sort of intensity about where people really are at. You know, and we're so used to, you know, dealing on a superficial level. It's, you know, when you find a read where people actually are dealing with the earnest feelings of how they feel, it's beneficial, I think.
I feel so, too, and I do agree with you. I'm writing about my life. I'm doing an memoirs right now, my life. And when I read the book, it, you know, you want to be as honest as you can be when you're trying to write something for your clients. Or, you know, some of my clients, I use my personal experiences. But it's amazing because the book here goes back to the past life. The one past life that got to me was, it's entitled The Knight and the Pheasant Girl. I mean, wow, or The Peasant Girl, wow. The peasant girl. That was very, wow, like, you know, you had met this young lady, or you're, I guess you were the knight, and she was the peasant girl. And
that's right.
Wow.
And that's actually, it's interesting how you picked that one, because that's actually sort of the cornerstone life recollection, actually, which set up, it's the one that parallels the present life the closest, where she was my mistress, and we had these children together, and we couldn't be together by virtue of social conformity at that time. Class structure was very polarized. And if you were in one class, you couldn't be with the person in another class, which is what she was. She was the peasant, and I was the baron or the lord of the manor, so to speak. And so that's right. It was a very... And so the players in that life were the same as the players in this lifetime, including our children.
Yeah, I read that. I was like, wow. And she, I don't know, she had like 9 or 10 kids or something in that lifetime.
Seven. Like, we had seven. We actually have 7 children this lifetime.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
See,
okay.
So there were 7 children in that lifetime when she was my mistress as a peasant girl. And at the end of that chapter, 4 of the children are taken in by my wife at that time, who was my first wife in this lifetime. And 3 were left, and those are the 3 that she had in this lifetime. So that's how it worked out.
Wow, yeah, that story just got to me. It tugged at my heartstrings, like the period of absences, you know, with the you know, what was her name? I think it was...
Well, I can't remember the characters' names either, but,
yeah.
You know, the idea
again...
It was
Kathleen, too. It was Kathleen as
well,
right. And you were Lord Hamilton. Yeah.
In order to assist the reader, she used the same names or forms of the names throughout in the past life, just so that the reader can follow who's who.
Okay.
So she always used the same K for all of her names and H for me, and that's how it worked.
Well,
it's not that hard to follow, I hope.
Oh, no, not at all. It was wonderful. Yeah. It was. I noticed that, too. It was great. That story just tugged at my heart. It was like, wow, that's tragic, you know, and people have to read the chapter to find out the ending, but it was very tragic. It was very, very heart-wrenching. And do you remember your past lives, too? Did any of this past life, after a while, because it was Kathy's recollection, but what about yours?
Well, you see, that's a good question in the sense that Kathy was spontaneously, could easily remember that. She was... Some people would say she was only half in her body, so she would be like you. I mean, she was, she could commune with the other side, and she had developed the ability to recall past lives, and she could give other people their past lives just by taking a ring or a watch. She could tell them a past life that was pertinent to their present life. For me, it was a little different because I'm sort of, you know, typical male, stuck in my head. I practice law, very reasoned, so it was a little more of a challenge. But what you come to realize is that if you just set aside that sort of intellectual understanding and allow yourself to, when you're in a, for example, after my meditation, you allow yourself to let it happen, you can get memories. If you think, what is a memory? You don't remember your 10th birthday. Well, it's just something inside your head, and it's the same thing with your past lives. Once you start to open that door, you can get recollections, particularly events that had an emotional impact, carry with you lifetime after lifetime. So it's simply a matter of opening the door and allowing yourself to say, yes, this is real, as opposed to that's just my imagination. Does that
yeah.
Hard?
No, it's not. No, I've done a lot of past life regression work myself, and it's just not difficult. Sometimes you will, like, for past life regression, or how can I put it, you can have someone facilitate it with you, you know, past life
right.
regression therapist or practitioner or whatever, or you can have some people just spontaneously remember their past lives as well. It's
absolutely
interesting.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a cultural almost prejudice we have. You know, we're locked into, we're taught a certain way as to what things are, and so then anything outside of that is strange and not acceptable. And really, people just have to broaden their horizons a bit and say, you know, I was taught that, but now I'm going to look at this a different way. And then you move. In fact, that's one of the main ideas behind the book, is to educate people in different ways of thinking about their lives. Because if you have a reincarnation perspective, a lot of things fall into place. I mean, things that, you know, why you're attracted to a certain person, or why you're, you know, you dislike a certain person. I mean, lots of times we have these triggers, and you can't figure out, well, you know, why is that? But if you think of it from a past life, well, you know, there's a story there. You might not know what the story is, but it explains why you have that feeling.
Yeah, you know, and there's certain patterns, like you said, in our lives. I know I just came to some realizations myself. I've cleared out a lot of things from past life regression and doing that, too. That's why I love the book, because I want to educate people that there's other alternative ways of uncovering or unearthing a pattern, or like you said, you're attracted to a certain person or a certain pattern. Maybe you have alcoholics in your family. Well, you're like, why am I always attracting an alcoholic partner? There's a reason
yeah,
for that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, and that will be a lesson that you're learning, and one of the thrusts of the book is that it's designed to encourage people to deal with their stuff, if I can put it that way, because a lot of times people think, oh well. You know, they get so far, and then it's not good, and or whatever the problem is, and they just say, well, you know, I'm not going to deal with it. Well, guess what? You'll just come back and have the same issue over and over again. So you might as well move forward to a resolution. I mean, often the resolution comes from within, but still, there's an idea. The notion that there's a repeating pattern hopefully will encourage people to move forward with their lives rather than just accepting them with all of the problems.
Right, yes, and yeah, that's what we're here for. We're here to clear out those karmic patterns and really
exactly.
move forward. We're here to learn. We're here to reincarnate every lifetime and learn a certain lesson. And what I also found interesting, Hal, was in the beginning of the chapters, there's a being called Ezekiel that kind of sets the pattern up for different things. Who was Ezekiel, and how did Kathy get to channel? He's like a being from the other side she channels,
right? That's
right.
He is her spirit guide, and mm-hmm. she communicated with him. I mean, there's, you know, you could call him an angel. You can call him a spirit guide. You might even call him a higher self. You know, I'm not sure. I mean, you know, the more evolved people are in communications with the other side, the more, I guess, they can distinguish personalities and
mm-hmm.
different beings. But for a lot of people, just listening to that inner voice will give you that knowledge or insight that you need in situations. So Ezekiel was Kathy's spirit guide, and he would convey sort of what we could call the wisdom of the book, and they're contained in these little snippets which preface each chapter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he's a spirit guide, and I feel like more like our spirit guides, and there's also ascended masters, so there's difference.
Okay.
And I
well,
feel
exactly.
he's a...
So you would know more than me then.
Yeah, I felt he was a higher being than even a spirit guide. An ascended master is like Jesus, Buddha, you know, that kind of... I got that kind of energy when I was kind of reading
okay.
the snippets in the book. So that's a different... That he's a higher, definitely a higher form of spirit. He's kind of up there, but it was interesting because
okay.
I could feel that from just reading, you know, the little different snippets in the chapter about the karmic patterns and the karmic lessons. What is karma? I keep using that term. What is karma to you? What's a karmic pattern? What is that to some?
Well, I guess the Sanskrit word karma simply means action, but typically it's referred to as sort of the results of our previous actions are visited upon it. So karma is like a bouncing ball, right? You bounce the ball and it comes back to you, bounce the ball and it comes back to you. So your actions, even your thoughts, you're putting them out there and they're always going to come back to you. And so sometimes it's easy to see with the consequences of our actions. For something we did in this lifetime, you do something to somebody, they do it right back to you, so you can get your karma right away. But sometimes the ball takes longer to come back, and that's the past life thing. So it's very much a consideration. Again, it's an Eastern spiritual concept that I think has actually made quite a bit of inroads in terms of the Western consciousness. But the idea is that, you know, your past actions are going to be visited upon you, and they may have their origins in a previous life. And that's certainly the thread or one of the threads in the book. Things that happen in one lifetime see their results in a subsequent lifetime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we throw that, around, that term around so much, so I just wanted to kind of put that. I like to tell people the basics of the terms because, you know, you hear about all this stuff and it's like, okay, what the heck does that mean?
Well, you know, and I appreciate that for the simple reason, again, I think that the audience for Kathy's book is people that are actually just starting that exploration. You know, in terms of the actual wisdom, I don't know if there's a lot of new sort of spiritual information in the book, per se, to those that are, you know, really into this sort of thing. But, you know, it's an introduction for people. It's a regular story of two people trying to sort out what they should do with their lives. And then there's this context, okay, well, it has its origins in our past. In our past lives, and so then it starts to make sense. The whole thing starts to okay, so that's how it works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does. It starts clicking after a while, and if you're, you know, I think we're all on a spiritual path, but on different varying levels, you know. And
absolutely.
I think sometimes if you're more self-aware of your patterns, the more you can unearth them, and you know, get
absolutely.
Rid of them.
And then you start to, and for a lot of people, the idea of reincarnation that they've integrated into their worldview, so that's not a big step for them. And so what this book offers them is sort of how that actually plays out. You live past lives, look at your patterns. Those patterns will find themselves in previous relationships, etc. But for others, it's simply an opening. Okay, here's another way of looking at how it all hangs together. You know, there is a sort of an Eastern spiritual perspective that can perhaps broaden your horizon so that you don't feel as stuck. Because psychotherapy in itself can be pretty limiting.
Correct. Right. And so yeah, and you met her at a meditation, transcendental meditation. What is
right.
that? That is so cool.
That's right. What it was the advanced transcendental meditation it's TM, and it's been around. Maharishi Mahesh Yogi's been around, I guess, since the 50s, but he made his mark in Western society in the 60s and 70s with the Beatles and all that sort of stuff. So we got hooked into that, and we did it together until Kathy's recent passing, and I still do it. And it's just a way to advance your consciousness, I guess.
And you're called, I can't pronounce, it's Siddha, Shita? It's
Siddha, yeah, Siddha.
Yeah.
That's it's called the TM City program, which is the advanced. There's basic TM, which is 20 minutes twice a day, and then there's the TM City program, which is a longer program twice a day, and that's a term that Maharishi coined from the Vedic tradition in India, which is Siddhas traditionally were spiritual masters who actually the concept of city actually is it's a power that people have beyond their ordinary, regular powers of vision, like their senses, etc. So past life recall is a city, clairvoyance is a city, levitation is a city. And those are things that people can actually develop as they develop their consciousness. They can develop these cities.
Okay. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so we all have that capability. As we evolve, if we stay on the earth plane, we can have... I mean, you've developed some. If you're communicating with the other side, whether it's clairaudience or clairvoyance, those are enhanced faculties that you've developed.
Yeah, well, I came in this lifetime with those Clary's, I call them, my Clary's.
Very good.
And, yeah.
And
you know,
how great is that?
It is great because, yes, it's wonderful because I can help people with my gifts. And that's what we're here to do, is to help with our gifts of whatever. That's my opinion. You know, if you have certain gifts, you have to offer the world more. Your light has more to offer the world. That's the way I feel. You know, that's why I do this work. You know, and I really love that you and Kathy developed together. That is awesome. You were on a spiritual path together. And do you think that made your current, up until Kathy's, you know, passing, did that make your relationship that much better in this lifetime, do you think?
Totally. In fact, one of the sort of plans I have for myself is to actually write a sequel to the book, which deals with how it all hangs together in a real-life context. Because one of the things that did happen, I mean, the book is this lovely love story, and it has this past life chapter format, but I mean, the real life actually existed after that. We had to deal with all the regular stuff of two divorces and stepchildren and all of that sort of thing. And so it was extremely challenging to go through all of those issues. But by the same token, we had this love or partnership that made it all worthwhile. And it even extends to her recent passing. I mean, that's a karma that we obviously set up for ourselves and set up for me, well, for ourselves, because she had to deal with the issue of her passing as well. So,
yeah, that's it. It was a gift. I mean, I think when one time I was dating a gentleman, and my guide said he's a gift, and I'm like, what kind of gift is he? But he opened, you know, right? We didn't stay together, but he showed me how angry I was, that I had to get through some anger from other past lives. So it was interesting. It is interesting, you know, because I was with this guy. It was a very short-term relationship. It was not even 4 or 5 months. And I remember we were, like, you know, hanging out together. I remember, I heard he's a gift. You know, and people don't realize that people come into our lives for a reason, to learn lessons. And that's what happened with you and Kathy. And it was amazing because in the book, you kind of held out for duty and honor. And she
that's the traditional view of our spirituality, like Western spirituality. Sacrifice in the Christian church is a huge component. I mean, that's a virtue, sacrifice. You can go to I can go to our local church where they have concerts, and you'll see it written right on the wall, sacrifice. I mean, that's what people are expected to do. You sacrifice your personal happiness for your duty to your family, your duty to, et cetera. And I think a more advanced understanding of spirituality would be to say, no, in order to really help other people, you have to help yourself first. So it's when you are happy, then you can share your full self with other people. And so there's a different emphasis. So I don't agree with that sacrifice thing at all. I'm not talking about narcissism. I'm simply talking about authenticity.
Yes, that saying, to thine own self be true, is when you're not true and honest with yourself, if you're not authentic or genuine with yourself, how can you be with everybody else out there?
That's right.
You know, you're dealing with.
And that's an advanced concept that you know, a lot of traditionally people didn't see at all. You know what I mean? Like, traditionally it was you know, if you married somebody, you took an oath. And so, I mean, that's the struggle that the male character in the book, myself, has, you know, what should I do here? You know, I'm married, but I've got this connection, and how do I balance that out? And that's, of course, the tension in the book.
Yeah, a lot of people call me, you know, with relationship issues, and that's one of them. They're either involved with someone who's married, or they're married themselves, and they have this strong connection. So I'm definitely going to be referring people to this book about that, because I do have a lot of clients that...
Well, that's exactly right, you know, it's just to help, and that's the whole point, again, of sharing your story is because people can see, okay, so that's how it fit there. You can unravel it to a deeper level, you know, based on that, on this understanding.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't give you all the answers, it doesn't say, well, what's the right thing to do, but because every situation is unique, but it can give you perhaps some insight on a different level to understand the issues, and that's helpful, I think.
I feel so too. I feel a lot of people are struggling with this, more than you want to know about. I mean, and like I say, I have a lot of people coming to me about that. And when we look at society standards, it's also like, for example, you're supposed to, like with Kathy's situation, she was dealing with an alcoholic husband. And she was trying to stay with him and stay bound by duty and honor, and she, wanted to leave that. She was staying for the sake of the kids. We hear that a lot today, don't we, Hal? I'm staying for the sake of the kids. When really, maybe you're damaging the children by staying with your mate, and
Well, that's
showing
right.
them, yeah, what kind of,
There's no perfect
yeah.
answer to people's personal problems, but again, as you just said, be true to yourself and listen to that inner voice and be guided by it, and you'll see your way out of it. Because often, for example, people are enabling bad behavior by staying in situations, or they think they're staying for the right reasons, but they're actually staying because they're afraid to move. You know what I mean? So there's all kinds of psychological devices we have to not move forward with our lives. But for those that actually want to move forward, this book maybe can show that you have permission to do it.
Yes, and some of the past lives are quite interesting, and we can what I didn't realize, and I didn't even know this myself, that you can reincarnate right away. I thought that was really cool. So like Kathy had a past life in World War II. She was in the Third Reich, and then it just goes on and on, and I always sometimes I've gotten different voices, thought modes here, different schools of thought. You got to wait 100 years to reincarnate or whatever it is. And here Kathy just shows us that she just kept on trucking. She just
Well,
kept
that's right.
going.
And my understanding again is, excuse me, is that as you become more evolved, you have more choice in A, when and where you reincarnate. So the further along as you become an older soul, you have more, if I can put it, options available to you. And that makes sense to me. So, people that are in a hurry to evolve their consciousness will reincarnate quicker.
Exactly, yes, because I remember I had a past life back in the 1930s, and then I came here, and my one friend said, "No, you can't do that. That's not right." And I'm thinking, "No, it is. This feels right to me."
And you should exactly. I mean, if that's, I mean, you're obviously, if you have all of those memories, I mean, you probably are making connections like that are made in this book in your own right, of course.
Yeah, it's amazing because when you're doing a past life regression, so if you will, Kathy recognized different souls and what roles they played. It's really cool, like her sister Anne and brother-in-law Mike and her
Okay.
ex-husband. It's and your ex-wife and or your first partner, whatever you want to call it. She recognized the souls, and it's amazing. Just intuitively know who's who and what's what, different past lives.
That's right, because we play roles, and we'll often play the same similar kind of role over and over again until we get through it. So, for example, excuse me, the role I played with my first wife has been really quite difficult, but it's a role that moves both of us forward. I mean, the circumstances of what's happened in this life have moved both of us forward. I mean, so you, and that's why you move from a position of not judging people. Because really, it's like you were disarmed with the difficult relationship you had with a gentleman for 5 months. It's a gift because he is showing you something about yourself, right? It's the idea our relationships are mirrors to ourselves, always. That's always the case. There's always some facet of yourself that is being tested or brought to the light by virtue of your relationship with the other person.
Yes, and you can like with your first marriage, she, like with the knight and the peasant girl, she was your first wife in that lifetime who kind of dictated you, or
That's
I don't
right.
want to, yeah,
That's right. I mean, that's how she's presented in the book as being very strong and controlling in a certain sense. And so, and that was the sense I had in this lifetime as well. And actually, what's interesting about the past life is you can feel that, then when you have this past life overlay on it, it starts to make sense because sometimes you feel things, and you don't really have any objective evidence. You know, why do I feel that? Or people say, I don't know why you're saying that. And yet you have that because you're bringing that in from a past life. You know what I mean? So you actually perceive things that may not be there quite as clearly to somebody else, but because you've had that before, it's just those buttons that get pushed.
Exactly. Or, you know, like my mom used to say, she's like, you either you meet somebody in the first few seconds, you know, you like them or you don't. And there
isn't
might
that
be
so
a,
true.
And it's probably so a past true. Life thing, right?
It's totally. I mean, why else would you have, as I say, why would you, I mean, some people you're just drawn to and like, you're like it's instant. And then other people, it's like you have a dislike, like that guy just gives me the creeps. And you have no idea why the guy gives you the creeps, but there it is. So,
right.
So that's an explanation. It's the same, you know, when we talk about the reincarnation thing, you know, people are drawn to different places in the world. Some people want to go to Greece. Another person wants to go to South Africa. Well, that's because they've had a past. Wherever you are drawn to, that's where you've had a past life.
Yeah, you know, and I'll say, like, I want to go to Hawaii, and then I found out I had a Polynesian past life, and I had a lot of stunts, you know, a long time ago. It's amazing, Aztec, I've always wanted to go, you know, and I worked with a bunch of women that didn't like me.
You've actually had that experience where you were, you know, in Chichen Itza or wherever you were, you know what I mean? So you've actually had those lives. I mean, to be... You know, to be at this point in the world where it's changing, you know, we've, a lot of us, anybody, most people in your audience have had a lot of lifetimes. It's as simple as that.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't even be drawn to this, to listening to this radio show right now.
Right. They want to do, they're seekers. They want to explore what the whys, why they feel this way. And that's why, you know, I think the book is going to be good for people who really want to dig, you know, our listeners want to dig in there and see, why do I have this comment? Why do I feel this way? Or why am I attracting maybe this kind of mate? Or why am I, you know, whatever it is.
Exactly. You know, so what the book attempts to do, and that's, again, sharing the story, is that it takes theory, reincarnation theories, and tries to plug it into how it really works in your life. You know what I mean? So I mean, here's an example of how it worked in Kathy and Hal's life. Here's the drama they had to go through, and here's the past life stories behind that. And so you can see how, you know, it fits together, and how, it's sort of how karma works, and how this sort of overall Eastern spiritual perspective can give you a better understanding of what's going on in your life.
Right, right. And yours is definitely a love story. And, you know, Ezekiel, the Ascended Master, I'll call him, you know, in the book talks about how you guys just didn't fall in love, but the love has always been there. And,
it's so true. That was so true.
Yeah. You know, and love doesn't just, you just don't fall in love with somebody. I have always believed that, too, that love was always there. It just had to be relit, rekindled, or whatever.
I completely agree with that, you know. Sometimes, you know, people think, well, you got to work on it or whatever. But, I mean, like you say, you might have to unearth it, but that love is already there. In fact, you don't actually choose who you love. It's chosen for you because it's there. So people should, you know, the idea that they have to work at something like that to re-energize, that's ridiculous. I mean, it's either there or it's not there. And you don't really get to choose. And it can be quite inconvenient. For example, it's quite inconvenient for Kathy and I to being married to other people to discover that we were in love with each other. I mean, it was, and that's, of course, the story in the book, of course.
Exactly. Yes. And it's,
so when you fall in love with somebody or you feel that connection with somebody, you know, it comes unbidden, you know, so and then people, for example, I mean, lots of times it's karmic groups where you'll fall in love with your sister-in-law or your brother's wife, you know, these terribly inconvenient things, and yet there it is, and that's a past life thing. You know, so if you like your brother-in-law's or your brother's wife, I mean, it's too bad that that's happening, but it's real, you know what I mean? So you can cover it up and say, I'm not going to deal with it. That's one way, but you know what I mean? It's not, it comes unbidden, is all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. It does, and yeah, sometimes you're just like, why, like, you know, you go through, like, patterns with maybe, for example, you're dating men who are emotionally unavailable, you know, let's say, and you're like, why am I attracted to that kind of guy? Until you work through that karma, you're going to keep attracting, or Yes, or you know, you could be attracted to your, you know, your neighbor, and you're like, he's not my type, but whatever it is, and that it is inconvenient. But it also, like Ezekiel points out, it's the challenges of the soul that makes your soul grow and expand. It
I
makes
think
you
that's right.
evolve. It does.
One of the common misconceptions I think that people have is that this life should be easy, and that everything should work out, and we should all have houses and white picket fences, and you know, and there is that part to it, but the other side of it is that this is actually a place to do your work, or to do your learning, and it's a place for transformation, and from that context, then it's a natural thing for us to face challenges. And to have to do the to work through these problems, and that's actually why we're here, is to do that work.
Yes, and it's work. It's a lot of work.
Well, it can be a lot of work. That's right. And sometimes it can seem overwhelming. And one of the issues I think that I've struggled with over the years is whether you can ever get too much, because Ezekiel. And his messages would say it's never too much, that whatever you've taken on, you can handle. But sometimes it seems like it is too much.
Yes, it is. And you know, that which kills us does makes us stronger, you know,
Yeah,
and
he
sometimes I
says
want to
famous
smack the
fiction.
person who said that. But anyway, you know, it does make us stronger, but it challenges us to be better people and or better souls or whatever we can do. And I really feel the book is very heartfelt too. You talk about the journal entries and the letters. Wow, those are very, very revealing. I mean, it's just amazing the journal entries that both of you talk about and how you felt, and the growth process was very hard for not only for Kathy, but I think for you, from when I was, you know, when I was picking up the book and reading through that.
Well, very
It was
much
very,
so. It was a
yeah.
very, very difficult time. So, I mean, one of the things about the journal entries from the ones that are my correspondence or journal entries is that they were incorporated so that there's more balance to the book, so that it's not just the female character's perspective, but it's the male and the female's character's perspective. So that's why they were incorporated in the book. But overall, yes, the actual. I mean, it was a very difficult time period in our lives. It was a very happy one in some ways, but it was also very, very challenging. And the time after the book, too, was very challenging.
Yeah, and there was one point where your first wa your wife, your former wife, made you burn the journal entries. You had like a bunch of journals, and she made you burn them.
Yes.
I was like, wow, you really, that to me, I have a lot of journals around here. My fiance did that to me. I'd be like, wow. You know, that was
Well,
that was very heart-wrenching. Wow.
part of the story of how you can do things that are against your own inner wisdom in order to stay in an external place that you think you need to be. You know, I mean, we think we need to be somewhere, and so we do all kinds of things in hindsight, like, why would you do that? But that's part of the story. And like I say, the past lives actually illuminate. I mean, there's all kinds of antecedents before this lifetime, you know, in terms of the relationship that I'd had with my first wife in this lifetime.
Yeah, can you tell us a little bit about after what happened? You guys, the final chapters, you guys get married and you go to Europe and you go and kind of like a deja vu experience. We talked about being at different places.
Yeah.
What's after that? You know, you didn't go happily, like you said, into the sunset and everything was all, you know, hunky dory. How did you adjust to, you know, two ex-partners, seven children between you? How did you both adjust to that?
Well, we actually did get married, and we were happily married for 16 years, and then Kathy passed away. And it was an ordinary life in a certain sense. I practiced law, and she wrote her book, and now I mean, obviously we had lots of challenges, as I was saying. There were lots of challenges that ordinary people face, like dealing with our children and dealing with our ex-spouses and going through the divorce courts and all the property settlement and all of that. But, I mean, overall, it was certainly Kathy and I were both very glad that we made the decision to be together. And we had a happy time, and I'm just dealing with now, because she's only been gone 4 weeks, I'm just dealing with the new reality of my new change in my life. So,
yeah.
And again, that's part of the cycles that I agreed to take on before I came into this lifetime. So.
Yeah, and, you know, some people will say that, well, we have free will, but do you feel there's a mix of free will and destiny, or do you feel we have a blueprint, we come down here, and we have to follow the blueprint, or we have free will and choice? What is your opinion on that?
You know, that's a good question, and I think the answer is that we have 100% free will and it's 100% destiny. And the reason I say that is that we have choices to make as we go through our lives, and so it's counterintuitive to say that everything is destined, because you get up, are you going to, you're going to have cornflakes, or you're going to have raisin bran this morning. So you have to make a choice. We're always making choices all the time. And the choices create the life we're living. So we do have that. But on a higher level, we're destined to make the choices we make. And so, for example, my hobby is Jyotish, which is an Eastern astrology. And, you know, it's set. I mean, I can, by following my cycles, I know exactly, you know, when things are going to get rough and when things are going to be easy, those sorts of issues. So it's all set in destiny, but saying that doesn't help you. You still got to still got to decide what you're going to put on in the morning, you know, and who you're going to call, and, you know, how you're going to handle all these problems. So, but at this, so, and really that is at this level of consciousness, we have free will. At a more exalted level of consciousness, you would be aware and you would actually be totally in accordance with natural law. You would just be, in effect, doing God's will, if we can term it that way. And so you would be at a different level. But for most of us, we've got to make up our minds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because sometimes I'll be like, wow, I chose this family of origin. I chose this. I chose that. But yes, but we can choose these people, the people in our lives, our family members, our friends, whatever. It's what makes us grow or go. You know, are we going to go
Absolutely.
Through it?
So
are we
chose those people, mm-hmm. not necessarily so they'd be easy. We actually chose them so it'd be hard. You see, there's. I always talk about the off-planet perspective and the on-planet perspective. From the perspective of being here, we want things to be easy. We want everybody to love us. We want things to, you know, we want to have enough money. We want to be in a loving relationship, etc. But there's no growth involved with that. The off-planet perspective is exactly the opposite, right? And so where we want challenges, we actually, that's how crazy it is. We want things to be difficult so that we will grow. Because mm-hmm. unless we have those challenges, you know, we just coast. We literally won't do anything. So, you know, the universe forces us into these situations to make us, you know, stretch us.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does stretch us.
And so you have this crazy sort of upside-down perspective where there's the off-planet perspective, which is bad things are good things, and the on-planet perspective, which is good things are good things. You know? So in the end, you can say, well, all things are good, because there always is something to be taken from any experience. So that,
yes, exactly, yes. You know, it's amazing because you're like, I chose these people. And you did. You really did. You know, whether you chose your mother who's, you know, protective and possessive, or your father, whatever, or your sisters or whatever. So, yeah, because I used to say, wow, I chose these people? Are you crazy?
Well, exactly. But, you know, the other thing is sometimes you can't resolve it with the other person. And so the resolution usually is from within. And one of the things that I've discovered in my journey with Kathy is that when you resolve something from within, then the circumstances outside of you, your external life changes, and you move on to something else. And so it's just like you're saying, talking about patterns. Well, those patterns are repeating because they haven't got the message or they haven't learned what they need to learn. But once you do, so if you have that sort of insight and you go, okay, and you make a change somehow, well then, after that, they won't repeat, and you'll be on to something new. And you may have a reprieve where you don't have. Now, like I say, if you're a student of astrology, you can actually see, you know, where you're going to have your learning periods, because they have these planets called Rahu and Ketu, and they are the bringers of your karma in each lifetime.
Ah.
It's all by cycles. I mean,
yes, it is. Yes, it is. I agree with that. You know, and sometimes you're, you know, I'm more of the Western astrology, so, okay, the planet of Saturn is my taskmaster, or the karma.
Absolutely. Well, they're very similar. Western and Eastern astrology are very similar.
It's just different terminology, I believe, yes.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, it's amazing, because I'll call my astrologer friend up. I'll be like, what's going on? She's like, well, this and that. Okay, we'll work through
that's
it.
That's right, and it's actually right there. I mean, how so that's why you know there has to be some hand of destiny there, because a good astrologer, whether Eastern or Western, can actually say, okay, you know, this is going to be a challenging period for you. And so on the ground, and that's how you know if your birth time is correct, because then you're actually experiencing some roughness in your life when the astrologer said you would be.
So, and if you're really in tune with things, you can call your astrologer up and say, what's going on? Because this is what I'm experiencing. And then she'll be like, yeah, that's right.
Exactly, that's right. And often they can say, well, here's how long that will last. And so you can get some sort of comfort. It first attunes you into the fact that there are cycles, and they never stop. You know what I mean? They're always moving forward. So, you know, if you're having a difficult time, well, 4 months from now, the planets will be somewhere else, and things will smooth out for you. So it helps you to get through, or to know that this too shall pass.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, you had an astrologer that you guys had some kind of, I can't pronounce, like I said, there was where your first marriages were destined to fail. Is that true? Because I thought that was fascinating.
Yes. Kuja dosha is a standard term in Eastern astrology, and it's a certain position of the planets in your natal birth chart, and it predicts the loss of a spouse. And so in fact, I had a very hard time when I was going through this with Kathy, the idea that I could have chosen a life where I was destined to fail in my marriage. I mean, one of the difficulties I was going through, you asked me how things were after the conclusion of the book. One of the things that was very difficult for me as a solicitor, as a lawyer, was I had never failed before. So it was a huge thing to fail in my marriage. That was a terrible thing for me to get over. And the idea that there could be a destined failure to my marriage was really something that took me a very long time to come to understand. It just, because it was so contrary. But that's the whole idea we've been talking about, how bad things are good things. After a while, you come to see, okay, there was something. I did learn a lot through the experience of that divorce. But the idea that I was actually destined to come here and actually have to go through that, took me a long time to come to that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Sometimes reconciling yourself to the fact that you went through some maybe horrible experience, you're like, really? I wanted to go through that? But you did learn a lot, and that's the point. You learn what your soul learned so you can evolve into the next step, like you said.
Yeah. I mean, one of the points I think Ezekiel makes is, in one of the messages, is that, you know, once there's the hurt or whatever the thing is, whether it's a divorce, the healing starts immediately after. Like, as soon as, I mean, so that's one of the gifts that we have on this planet, is our ability to heal ourselves. So we go through a divorce or a bankruptcy or, you know, an assault or whatever it is, but the healing starts the next day. You know what I mean? So then we're on a different journey. So as horrible as it is that these mishaps happen to us, you know, we have the capacity to heal ourselves, and that's how we learn.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And that's what we're here to do too. Because once we heal some part of ourselves, in a way, we're healing, you know, people of a collective consciousness, you know, which is amazing too. We kind of heal others around
connected.
Us.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we're all connected. Everybody thinks we're so, you know, and you talk about that in the book too, about how, you know, feeling so alone and isolated. When you started the path with the Transcendental Meditation, I think it was you,
yeah.
How you felt so alone, but really we're all connected. And, you know, it's it's just amazing. I mean, we may think we're alone, we're special, but we're really not. We're all connected in some way. And I'm learning that myself, too, I have to say. That's a lesson I'm learning.
That is a tough lesson because, you know, it can be a spiritual platitude. You know, I'm always aware people say, well, we're all connected. And that is it. It's a spiritual truth, and it's also a spiritual platitude. So you have to be careful with it that, to my mind, you don't use that as sort of, okay, well, we'll just say that. Because actually our experience is that we're separate. So we know, you know, intellectually that we're all connected, but we don't experience that on an experiential level.
Right.
And so you sort of have to play with that, I guess. You know what I mean? I'm not sure how you resolve that, because I know that's true, that we're all connected. But I don't experience that in my day-to-day life. I'm not really there where, you know, you or me and I'm you. I mean, I hope to get there someday, but, you know, still working on it.
Yeah, we're all working on different things and different lessons, different strokes for different folks, I guess. But, you know, it's something. I think just the book itself just touches on different aspects of ourselves, and it's something to look at and to think about. You're right. It's kind of something to kind of facilitate you on the healing journey. You know, it's just, you know, you may do past life regression. You may do transcendental meditation, whatever. You may go, you know, Kathy had a healer friend named Vale, you know, she went to. There's different ways, but it helps, whatever helps heal your soul and get you to the next level, do it. Or at least that's my opinion.
I think that's right. And don't just coast. I mean, that's what I said earlier, is that move yourself forward. Shake off the lethargy or the fear of moving forward, because you actually, when you actually come to understand it better, is that you're actually in God's hands always, and this is all being orchestrated for your enlightenment, for your growth. And so you can't get it wrong, and you might as well take it for what it's worth. Go all the way.
Yeah, and, you know, Kathy really was embracing the change, where you were kind of like resisting the change, like you said, because of, you know, society's ideals.
Well, and that's why the book is interesting, because she is further along in terms of her worldview. Her worldview, because she, as you are, she was open her whole life, so she was always involved in spirituality. It was just a part of her being. Well, me, I was much more the typical Westerner. You know, had gone to law school. You know, living in my head, and, you know, identifying myself with cultural norms. And so, you know, I'm having this exploration. I mean, when I met Kathy, which is the subject matter of the book, I mean, I didn't even know the signs of the zodiac. I didn't know any of this stuff. It was all brand new to me. So I was from the old world, and she was from the new world, and that's the collision of those two worlds, which is what the story is.
Yes, and it did make you really grow and really made you a better person. I think that...
Well, that's your...
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Thank you, I guess. I don't know. I mean,
and made you... I don't know. All these
that's
things
what happened
make us...
in the store, anyways.
Yes. Well, at least that's what I'm feeling. It made you a better person. It made you a stronger person. And it does. These things, I call them soul challenges, because they challenge our soul to want to move forward, whether we
that's
like
right.
it or not. You know, you can go willingly or you can go, you know, unwillingly. Whatever you want to do, you can resist the change.
Well, that's right. And I think our souls there's a larger part of us that we don't really communicate that well with. And so it's actually the soul's challenge to our personality, to our egos. Hey, get with it. You know, you're here to learn some things, and go ahead and learn them. You know what I mean? So it's, you know, our egos or our personalities are a subset of our soul.
Mm-hmm.
The soul enjoys the experience of being on this planet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it really is quite an extraordinary thing if you think about it.
Yeah. It is amazing. It is amazing. Well, Hal, we're coming down to the end of the hour, and where can people find the book, and where can people, there, she's got a website, you want to just wrap it up?
The book can be found at Amazon.com. That's probably the easiest place, and you can get it either hardcover, softcover, or ebook. I mean, everybody's got Kindles now, so that's probably the easy. It's quite reasonably priced if you get the ebook. And there's also a web page for KathyRoss.com.
It was a great book. It's wonderful. It's keep the message going. Keep Kathy's legacy going. I think it's going to be a really good book.
Thank you. I just, like I say, I think there's a message there that the world would benefit from hearing, and so that's why we're going to do it.
Yes.
She's still here. I mean, she's not here, but she's here.
I can feel her.
I know that.
Yeah, I felt her reading the book. I really did. I felt her around me. I felt her love. I felt her presence, and she's still around. And
so it's part of the plan that I don't yet understand, that she decided to leave the second half of the book to me alone, and she's helping from the other side.
Yes, she is. She's doing okay on the other side too. No more pain. So that's the great part, Hale. That's the great part. Well, I really appreciate you coming on the show, and thank you for
You're welcome.
For being
it was a pleasure.
Here. Yes, and I hope you did great. You did great. You're really a wonderful man, and keep going.
Well, I appreciate that, Amy. All the best to you, too, then.
Okay. Well, everyone, next week I'm going to be off. It's the day after Easter. We'll have a repeat. But everyone have a great week and have a great Easter. Take care. Thank you, Hal.
Bye.